Hi, and welcome to the White Hill podcast series. My name is Roger. I'm one of the pastors here at White Hill, and we're glad that you've chosen to listen to one of the podcast messages today. Our prayer is that you would be challenged and inspired to take the next steps in your journey with God as you listen to this message. If you want to keep in touch with more things that are happening at White Hill, head to our website at whitehill.church and you can subscribe to our YouTube channel. Enjoy this message now.
Coming through? Yes? No? Hello? There we go.
Good morning.
Thanks. Good morning. And thanks, Paul. Okay. I was just saying to Sarah before, yeah, the Chubba Chubs would be a good idea, because I was just saying I'm going to stand up here and not be able to tell what's coming back from the expressions or the feedback or see if we're getting through or not. So so I encourage you to grab one of those Chubba Chubs so I can see what's going on as well from up here. But good morning. And yeah, welcome to this next part in the series, Pursuing Healthy Relationships. I was watching online from Canberra last week as when Roger opened with the first part of this series, sitting there last Sunday hoping and praying that I wouldn't get locked out of the state with all that's happening down south, hoping not to be away from family, you know, any longer than I had to. As Paul's been praying about this morning with all of this, it certainly, you know, makes you feel for those who have been affected by these lockdowns and border closures and things like that. It's really tough for people, you know, and tough for a lot of families out there. Because family relationships are important, aren't they? Yeah, that's what we're looking at today as part of this series. Relationships in marriage, more specifically, today. Now, when Sarah and I got married, or when we were preparing to get married, we didn't do any of those, you know, really intensive pre-marriage courses or counselling or anything like that. But I do remember a brief chat that we had with the pastor, or that the pastor had with us, as we were signing those initial forms and things like that when we were making our plans. I guess you could say it was sort of like his mini pre-marriage counselling for us at that stage. But I only remember one thing from that session. And that was the pastor saying to us, or I remember him saying it to Sarah more directly, that when we get into disagreements, you know, when there's a conflict over something that we can't come to an agreement on, his advice to Sarah was that when that happens, she needs to accept that Luke is the one who's in the right. As the head of the household, I'm the one who will be right. I was probably thinking, well, this isn't so bad. Maybe we should have done more of these sessions. But when I've brought this up to Sarah since, she says she doesn't remember that session going that way at all. It's clear that she doesn't remember it that way at all, because she doesn't seem to have taken his advice since then in our marriage. But whether that was the advice that was given, really given, or if it's just the way I was hearing it at the time, yeah, it's probably not the best advice to a soon-to-be married couple. But we do have disagreements in marriages, don't we? Yeah, disagreements over things that we sometimes or often both convince that we are the one who's in the right. Yeah, at times we can each stand firm on our side of the argument, you know, building our case against the other, you know, which sometimes lead to things blowing way out of proportion and escalating into bigger things than what that argument originated with, which is usually quite small things. But we do this when we believe that we're in the right and they're in the wrong, and vice versa. Yeah, this can become a bit of a vicious cycle at times. You know, when it feels like we're going around in circles over the same or similar issues again and again. You know, wondering how much longer we can do this sometimes. You know, is this what marriage is? A cycle of not seeing eye to eye on things? In some ways it is. You know, marriages are, they're always made up of two very different people who see things very differently to one another. And we live in a world where relationships are hard. You know, they're a struggle at times. Fractured. And sometimes even broken. But we've got to believe that there's a way through this, haven't we? Yeah, because this is what God created us for. You know, to live in relationship with one another. To live in relationship with Him. So we're going to take a look at this today. You know, how we can pursue healthy relationships in our marriages. And to do this, we're going to go right back to where it started. Back to where relationships began to become a struggle for us, which is pretty much back at the beginning, where we read about the fall in Genesis chapter 3. Yeah, Genesis 3 tells us the story of a massive event where things began to go bad in God's good creation. You know, when Roger gave me this chapter as the one to work with for this message, to talk about relationships, it was one I thought could certainly work with in this series. Because honestly, I actually think that this event, the fall, you know, is all about relationships at its core. So let's take a look at this together. We open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, or follow along on the screen up here. Genesis chapter 3, from verse 1 we read. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now the first verses in this chapter reveal our first encounter with temptation and the sly nature of the enemy's influence in our lives to plant seeds of doubt in our minds about God. You know, the seed of doubt that's planted about the truthfulness of God and His good intentions for our lives, you know, leads to the beginnings of our not trusting God. A loss of faith, we might say. I often say, you know, faith simply means trust. You know, the fact that Jesus introduced faith to us as the means of being saved, you know, it makes so much sense when we see how it was the move away from trusting God that began, that led to our fall in this major event. You know, this tree of knowledge, as it's referred to earlier, that God warned us not to eat from, that was planted in the middle of the garden, is symbolic of the choice that we're all given, the free will, to either trust God in the way that He will lead us in life, or to try and go our own way in things, figure it out for ourselves in different ways. You know, the enemy plants the idea in Eve's mind that God is withholding something from us. That's not true. You know, God is put us here in this world to experience life to its absolute fullness. He wants to give us knowledge, wisdom, joy and the pleasures of life. He's not looking to withhold any of that from us. He just wants us to trust him for these things as he provides them for us and leads us in the right way and things in this life. In the story of Adam and Eve, in chapter 3 of Genesis, yeah, they've chosen not to trust God in this act. And this results in what verse 7 describes as their eyes being opened. And they realize they're naked. And they feel the need to cover themselves up. Yeah, it seems that nakedness wasn't an issue before this, but something enters the scene here that wasn't there before. Shame, I guess it is. Yeah, that shame that comes as a result of sin. And we see the effects of this more and more as the story continues. So we read on here from verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And to the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe, with painful labor, and you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." There's a great deal in this, and more that follows with the curses that are pronounced upon the man, Adam. Yeah, but I've stopped here at verse 16 because of the relational factors of the fall that are captured here. Yeah, it starts off here with Adam and Eve hiding from God because they're ashamed. You know, this introduces us to the fracturing of the relationship between us and God, between God and people, because of the way they've chosen to go and not trusting God for what he was providing for them in life. You know, trust is an essential part of any relationship, isn't it? With this choice not to trust God, you know, symbolized by the eating of the forbidden fruit, we then see the first signs of our relationship with God breaking down, as well as the relationship between people, between the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, who were created to exist in this intimate, harmonious relationship with each other. Yeah, and a whole range of things begin to unravel here. When Adam and Eve are confronted by God about their choices, the blame game starts. God asks Adam, "Have you eaten from that tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" To which Adam replies, "The woman you put here with me." Notice the blame towards God in Adam's response there. And then blame being directed toward his wife. "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from that tree and I ate it." Is there anything that Adam's saying here that isn't true? Well, no. You know, what he's saying is factually right. But not right as well. He had a choice in all of this as well. and something that he's failed to recognize and acknowledge in the midst of his confrontation with God. I won't get too personal here, but I know when Sarah and I have our disagreements at home, you know, I seem to be able to list off and articulate my side of the argument pretty well. You know, things that I believe are true and accurate. You know, that's what we feel like we're meant to do in an argument, right? You know, put out the facts that support our side of things. When we do this, we might be saying things that are right. You know, factual truths like Adam was laying out here. But not right, is it? When we fail to humbly acknowledge our own faults in the situation. A lot of the time when we get into arguments like this, we often don't see those areas where we're at fault ourselves. We get so determined to win the argument. Not sure if you experience this yourselves. I know I do. That we can start listing off the things that we believe are right from our side of things. And before we know it, we've lost sight of what's important in the relationship. The things that we're listing off aren't really doing much for the relationship except at times causing hurt towards the other person. Causing hurt to that person we love or supposed to love. It reminds me of a saying. I've seen it pop up a few times around the place. It says, when you have a choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. Familiar with that one? Have you seen that one around? I actually like that with a bit added on to the end of it that I've seen as well. Where it says, when you have the choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind and you will always be right. When the pressure mounted, Adam chose to try and be right rather than be kind. And things just go so wrong from there, as they so often can for us in our relationships when we go that way as well. So we see Adam blaming God and his wife. And when it's put to her, she then blames the snake. You know, but none of this helps to improve their situation at all. You know, creation as we know it from here has been just thrown into absolute turmoil. Relationships which were intended to be a thing of beauty, to share with each other in God's good creation, they're fractured from here. The result of this is described in the curses of the fall that we heard in the reading. And for the woman, she's told that she'll have to endure pain in childbirth. And that, as it says in verse 16, God says, your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. I just want to make a quick comment here on this one. You know, on what sometimes gets presented as a biblical model of marriage. You know, for some, what's perceived as maybe an ideal model for marriage, where the man, you know, has this God-given right to rule over his wife in a dominating way. You know, to that view, I just want to point out here how that this sort of picture of marriage is presented here in Genesis 3, you know, not as the ideal or the way that God designed the marriage relationship to be. It's instead described as one of the curses of the fall, as a consequence of sin. You know, trying to twist this into a good thing for marriage does not promote healthy relationships in our marriages, but probably contributes to a lot of the unhealthy stuff that we see today with relationships in the home. But Genesis 3 tells us that there is going to be issues in our relationships, doesn't it? It gives us that forewarning and explains what we all experience today. Yeah, beyond verse 16, we read more about the curses for the man that are a consequence of the fall. And then Adam and Eve are ejected from the Garden of Eden, the place where they were created to live in the presence of and relationship with God. But before that happens, we are given this little glimmer of hope, a little shining light in the midst of this terrible event. It's just a single line, a single verse tucked away in this chapter, but something that sets the tone for what we see from God throughout the rest of the Bible. Verse 21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." I'm not sure if this is what stood out for you in your previous readings of this story, but it's certainly what stands out for me. Now, this just sets the tone for how we see God responding to our rejection of Him, our sin, our faults in the relationship. As much as the relationship has been fractured here between the man and the woman through blame and sin, the relationship between people and God through blame and not trusting. Now, God hasn't done anything wrong to contribute to any of this. It's all on us. Now, I say on us because I don't see the story of Adam and Eve as just a story of the first man and woman at the beginning of creation. You know, it's a story about us and our response to God. We are all Adam and Eve, making those very same choices of not trusting God in different ways in our lives. You know, despite not recognizing it or taking responsibility for their own actions and choices, you know, it's clear to see that Adam and Eve are the ones at fault for fracturing the relationship between themselves and God. And what's God's response to this? Here we see Adam and Eve naked in their shame, facing the consequences of their sin. And God clothes them. He continues to show His love and His mercy in the relationship, displaying His grace toward them. It's the picture of grace that we see from God right throughout the Bible from here, in the Old Testament and the New. A lot of people think the Old Testament doesn't have that grace element. It absolutely does, right throughout. Yeah, but it's no more than what we see through God in Jesus. You know, despite the damage that we've caused by our wrong choices, the faults that we even fail to see ourselves, God sustains His relationship with us by His grace, doesn't He? I wonder if that's the lesson to be learned here today for how we can pursue healthy relationships in our marriages and even other relationships, to show grace, to be kind above being right or trying to be right. When we make a point of trying to win arguments in the home by making our case against our partner, listing off all the things that we believe supports our side of the argument, it's never the sort of thing that strengthens our relationship, is it? However convinced we are about being right on our side of things, in truth, we often don't acknowledge or even see sometimes the problems that we're contributing to the situation. There are times when we will recognize our faults, and in those times we need to take responsibility for it. But I'm thinking of the majority of times when we're We're simply blind to our own faults, aren't we? You know, our own shortcomings in the relationship. But I believe there's hope for us yet in this, even with the blindness that we have. You know, a way that we can contribute to sustaining and strengthening our relationships. And that's by displaying grace toward one another. The way that God continues to display his grace toward us. You know, grace doesn't build a case against the other person with all the ways that we believe we're in the right and they're in the wrong. You know, grace is displayed in loving the other person despite the faults that we see and the faults of our own that we don't see. Of course, I'm referring to general disagreements we have in the home. You know, I'm not encouraging anyone to remain in a situation where they're at risk of harm, you know, physically or emotionally. You know, that sort of thing's not acceptable, and no one should feel like they need to stay in a situation like that when there's abuse occurring. But in a safe and loving relationship, you know, grace is an essential ingredient to include in our marriages. For an easy to remember takeaway from this message today, you know, that saying I said before is a good one for, I think, is to hold on to and to keep at the front of our minds when issues arise in our relationship. If we have the choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind. If you have the choice to be right or to be kind, choose to be kind and you'll always be right. That sounds a bit like grace, doesn't it? Yeah. Let's pray. Oh Lord, firstly this morning we just thank you for your grace. Lord, your grace that forgives our sins. It washes us clean of our faults, Lord. The grace that we see in what Jesus has done for us all. Lord, we have all sinned against you. We acknowledge and confess those sins today. The ones that we recognize, Lord, and those ones that we just don't see as well. Lord, we confess these in confidence of your forgiveness and grace upon our lives. And Lord, with it, help us to display that same forgiveness, that same grace in our relationships with one another. As we face things, Lord, and as we address the things that need to be addressed in our marriages, Lord, give us that attitude of grace and love the way that we experience your love toward us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this story in Genesis, Lord, and what we can learn from it, the way it teaches us and guides us. And Lord, may this bless our marriages, our relationships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening today. If you live locally here in the Ipswich region, we would love to invite you to come and join us in person here at one of our Sunday gatherings at Whitehill. For more information on our services or our ministries, head on over to our website at whitehill.church. If you're interested also in taking next steps in your relationship with Jesus, please also at our website, hit the connect button and let us know where you're at. We would love to catch up with you either over a coffee or on a phone call to chat with you about where you're at. We hope you've enjoyed watching this message, and we pray that God would continue to bless you as you seek Him in your daily life. God bless.